Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips. Like
it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his loss.
Here's the Sandman.
Over Sandman.
If you think about it, when is probably the most important question you're going to ask yourself in retirement. Like, when should I start my Social Security? When should I start transferring my wealth to my kids? When's a good time to check my mom into a nursing home? Retirement creates so many questions. Perhaps you have more questions than you do answers. That's why you should be tuning in for the entire show today as we share ways to answer the when questions of retirement. Welcome to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, your host. That's right. You hear the Sandman jingle. That's what they call me around here. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their legal or financial questions each week. And that's because I manage a financial planning firm and practice law. And we do taxes. So we do all three things under one roof. And that surely opens up a lot of interesting questions. You can always ask me a question. Maybe something comes up, you know, during the week. You come home, open the mailbox or something in there you don't really like. You want to know what you could do about it? Well, email me a question anytime. Questions at PYA Radio. That's for Protect Your Assets. Questions at PYARadio.com. And I'll be more than happy to help you. Again, questions at PYARadio.com. Now, you know that old saying, if you want better answers, then you need to ask better questions? Well, it's true. Retirement is a phase of life that is absolutely chock full of complex and confusing questions. But sometimes just rephrasing a good question can make it a great question and thus a better answer as a result. So today we're going to be talking about the whens of retirement. Like, when should you start taking money out of your retirement accounts? Or when do you actually start your pension? Retirement creates so many questions. Perhaps you have more questions right now than you do answers. And that's why you should be tuning in for the entire show today as we get into how do you answer these when questions when they come up. As always, like other radio show listeners have done, if you have questions or you want specific advice tailored to you, reach out to us at the website, libertygroupllc.com, libertygroupllc.com. Now, let's get started. Well, the Fed did nothing and the market liked it. The Dow was up 1.2% for the week. S&P 500 is on a tear, up 2.6. Year to date, the S&P is up 14.8%. I hate to say I told you so. I've been talking about this for a long time, about this sort of environment and what can happen. It's certainly volatile. There's no doubt about it, but 14.8%. Wow. NASDAQ, at this, up 30.8% year to date. For the week was up 3.2. Yep, more of that tech and AI stuff. MSCI EAFE Index. Now, I just got to spend a lot of time over in Europe. For the week, it was up 2.4%. The ECB raised rates this week because they're certainly experiencing inflation over there. I can tell you all about that. Year to date, though, the international market's up 8.7%. Not bad. The 10-year Treasury, not much happened there. Pretty flat for the week. The yield is still 3.76%. Oil's been a big story this summer. It's at $71.88 a barrel. For the week, it was up 2.4%, down year to date over 10%. And the question is, what's going to happen to oil this summer as people start driving and supply is what it is? So keep your eye on that one. Bonds right now, 98.19 year to date, up about 2.8%. I like bonds. We'll talk more about that, but not bad. So sometimes doing nothing is actually quite something. Last week, the Fed did nothing with interest rates for the first time in more than a year, holding their policy steady after 10, you got that right, 10 straight hikes that totaled 5%. We haven't seen that ever. The question now becomes, is nothing from the Fed something for this market? Well, here's what you need to know about the Fed's pause and how it might, you heard me say might play out. Well, last week's release, first of all, of the inflation data, the May CPI, Consumer Price Index, confirmed that inflation is going down. The number came in at 4%. Good news, housing and used cars appear to be getting cheaper. But the bottom line really is 4% is not good enough for the Fed. They want closer to 2%. And so we are seeing moderating inflation through all other kind of sectors, like manufacturing. Manufacturing slowing down. I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Manufacturing's contracting for the last 6 months. Business investment. I know locally, if you walk around San Francisco, it's depressing. But get this, nationally as well, business investment's declining in a pretty decent way. And the weakness has been covered up, and that's why the market continues to rally on, by the strong consumer. And this is being supported by, again, pretty low unemployment, even though we're seeing those numbers start to increase. Wages are still pretty high. So the Fed is having an effect on the overall economy, but the question now is, how deep and how bad will it be once it starts to set in? Because this past week, big bank announced that there's going to be a pretty big recession coming, and they said it's going to be in the next couple months. So keep in mind this, the full effect of what the Fed's been doing, these last 10 hikes, this 5% I'm talking about in a record time, has really not fully worked its way through the system. And so we can look back at history, like in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, when we had economic contractions. In other words, when the Fed's raising rates, about what happens to the market. And I'm going to contrast that against the 90s. Went back and looked at all of this to see what happened. So let me give you some data, because I think data, bottom line, is going to move the market. I don't think the Fed really has much impact on what they say anymore, because they're reacting now to what the data shows. And that's what I've been saying now for months. The data is going to move the market. The Fed's just sort of waving a big stick, if you will. So let's look at the actual things of what happened. So what markets have done when the Fed pauses, because that's what they just did. All right. So let's go back to 1994. If you look at September of 92 through February of 94. So there was a pause, and then we're now looking at what the market did before they raised rates or lowered rates. So no action. Stock market return, get this, 17.2%. So market rallied pretty strong, and then what did the Fed do next? Well, they hiked rates. All right. What happened February 95 through July of 95? Market rallied 19.2%. And then Fed acted. How about November 98 through June of 99? 21.5%. All right. So you see the theme. The market likes to rally typically after there's a pause. Now, most recently, this was interesting. I thought March of 20 through March of 22. That doesn't seem that long ago, right? Pandemic, then recovery. What do you think the market, the S&P 500, rallied during that period of time? Yeah, you're right. 65.8%. Think about that. That's a massive move. And so now we're seeing a pause, and we'll see what happens. Like I said at the start, 14.8 right now. We'll see where it goes. But the Fed most likely will do something about it one way or the other. Now, here's what's fascinating about the market right now. The market leadership in 2023 in the S&P 500 has been led by three sectors. And you already know one of them because you already said AI. So you're right. Technology is one. Yes. But what about the others? Communication services. So that's somewhat technology related. And the other one, consumer discretionary, spending, buying stuff. Those three, that's it. Everything else is underperforming right now. We're talking about another 11, 12 different indexes. So what does that mean? Well, when things get kind of hot and blown up and overdone, it's like a cake. You ever bake? You know, you leave it in there too long and it starts to blow up. And what happens? Yep. Poof, right? So just expect the volatility. It's going to come. And that's why right now you might want to be looking at some high quality bonds. This past week, I saw rates get sort of attractive on relatively shorter term things. So my point right now is if you're looking to add stocks here or long exposure to your portfolio, I'd prefer to add it to the parts of the market that have been left behind in this recent rally. And these sectors should, as you're looking at these things, they should benefit if the Goldilocks scenario continues of inflation starting to continue to go down, the Fed's not hawkish, not raising rates, and there is solid growth continuing throughout the week. That's where this market's really strong right now. But if you look at where a lot of the good news is, well, there's not so much if you think about it, if you look at all of 23. Remember the regional bank crisis? It's not over. Earnings are actually declining right now, not as bad as it was feared, but still they're going down, which is not good, right? Clear softening of economic momentum. And potentially, because the Fed said it this past week, more rate hikes than that were expected at the beginning of the year. And it's the respect of the market's ability to do the very thing that kept me advocating staying long stocks throughout this process we've been going through rather than going to cash. But my experience, 2000 to 2003, 2007 to 2008 continues to make me nervous. And investors right now operate in days, weeks, and months. And remember, markets and economies operate in quarters and years. And in both 2000 and 2007, the warnings of a looming economic slowdown were wrong for over a year. Think about that. With the risks that I've been talking about this morning, just expect the slowdowns to show up. And when they do, it's going to be somewhat violent. I hope this time's different. I hope we do get this continued Goldilocks market. And we're talking about more highs on the S&P 500 by the end of this year. But the reality of higher rates that are there, potentially longer, an economy that is slowing in the data we're seeing it. There's pressure right now on corporate profits. You've got lenders right now all over the place. I'm hearing about this in a big way as these commercial loans are coming due. Lenders are not giving them cash. They're not even talking about it. That's not good. So these empty buildings you're seeing, businesses going out, just distraught areas, it's going to get worse, not better. So while you enjoy this market right now, keep in mind that under the surface, things aren't quite as good as all that AI sentiment that's floating around. So what's my technical view right now? Well, medium term, I think that stocks like the S&P 500 that just hit a fresh high this past week could continue. The next resistant level we need to go through to see higher numbers, 44.89. Support, if we blow through that, get ready for the 10% drop, 41.33, write those down. Those are the numbers. 10-year note, what are we looking for there right now? You heard what I said at the start. I need to see go through 3.8 before I get excited on that. All right. Right now, what should the allocation be on your portfolio? Well, if your tech and your growth has gotten a little out of hand, I might recommend you readjust it. 25% growth, 75% value if you want to stay long. All right. Nothing wrong with taking some profits and going to cash and look at some short-term bonds right now. Bonds are attractive. And that might be a place where you want to put some money that you've made. Coming up next on Protect Your Assets, we will be sharing when should you tap your different retirement assets while keeping your taxes under control. It always pays you to keep it right here. You've been listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander. The financial and investing world can be so puzzling with so many acronyms and terms that just make it too much to understand. So much so that some people just feel stuck, not knowing where to turn or who to trust. Well, the good news is it doesn't have to be that way. We're here to help you demystify retirement planning and help you gain the confidence you need to feel comfortable about where you're heading. Today, we're going to be talking about the whens of retirement, because if you think about it, when is a very important question. Like, when should I be gifting my wealth to my family? Or when should I tap my investments for income when I stop going to work each day? Retirement creates these types of questions, and perhaps you have more questions right now than you do answers if you're thinking about retiring. And that's why you should listen to the entire show this morning as we're sharing ways to answer the when questions of retirement. So as you know, I am David Hollander, and we do talk about this every week. We help our listeners by answering their tough financial and legal questions each week. That's because we do taxes. We do legal issues like protect your property from Prop 19. If you're not aware of that, you should check it out. It's pretty ugly. And help you create income from that money that you've been saving for retirement. So let's start out with that one. One of the biggest whens you're going to face in retirement or as you enter retirement is, when should you tap the different accounts and retirement assets, by the way, that you've set up to keep your taxes under control? What do I mean by that? This is a very complex question if you think about it, because one of the advantages that we have at our firm, because we have quite a number of employees who do different roles like tax, legal, and financial, we look at things like your real estate and how your real estate income and the debt on your property flows into your financial plan. We also compare that against other accounts that you may have. So let's start out with the understanding that in retirement, your focus shifts. You're no longer concerned with how you're growing your assets at this point. Now your concern should shift to preserving what you've made, protecting it, and then creating as much as you can in terms of income coming off of it in a very tax-efficient way if you're going to be paying taxes on that income, because as we all know, at least in my opinion, taxes are going up, not down, and particularly if you're going to stay in California. So here's what I mean as we start to look at this. Let's say you have different investment accounts that have different tax implications. So you may want to write this down. The first type we call it is non-qualified. What does that mean? A non-qualified account would be like a taxable account. It'd be like your brokerage account or your bank account or a trust account, a revocable trust account. These are accounts that crank out dividends, capital gains, month in, quarter in, you name it. You get 1099s each year and you pay taxes on those things, whether you like it or not. Those are what we call non-qualified accounts that you may not even be looking at or thinking about in terms of how they get taxed and how you have to pay money on those things. The next type of accounts that you have in your retirement bucket, if you will, are tax deferred. Now, these are the ones that I remember back in the early 90s. 401ks were just coming out. You may remember that. It was all about pensions forever. And now the government had this great idea. Well, let's let people pay for it themselves and let's start the 401k. And the 401k has exploded. And I remember when I started, my boss said, you know, just put money away in your 401k. It's a great deal. It grows, it compounds. And then when you deal with it later in retirement, that's when you pay taxes on it. Well, it sounds great. And it feels good when you see your paycheck and you see it's not all taxed and it's going into this tax deferred vehicle. But now you're getting near retirement. And so you're going to start drawing down on that. And guess what? It's all ordinary income. That's right. All ordinary income coming at you. And so these are what I'm talking about, tax deferred accounts, IRAs, 401ks, annuities, life insurance. These are all things that are going to potentially create problems in your life when it comes to paying taxes on the income. The next type of accounts that you should be thinking about are what I call tax-free. Now, I love tax-free. The best type of income is what? Free income, right? Free money's great. But we don't all know how to get free income. So what's the second best thing? Well, I would argue it's tax-free. If you're getting interest on something, it's 100% tax-free. Well, that's pretty good. So what are things that are tax-free? Again, these are different types of investments you should consider. Tax-free or Roth accounts, municipal bonds, potentially, health savings account, HSAs, I hope you've been doing those, and loans against life insurance policies. You heard me say life insurance earlier. That's if you take withdrawals. But if your policy is set up in a way where you can take a loan against it and use that as income in retirement, in an effective way, that is tax-free because the insurance companies have lobbied the government and there's ways to design that and make that happen. Okay, so as you think about or you lay things out on your paper in the type of accounts I'm talking about, you may want to prioritize how you take income out of those different sources. Why? Because you're going to start drawing on those accounts to live on when you retire because the paycheck stops. One option you might think about is to save the Roth account for last so that it has more time to grow tax-free money for you. But as you start to determine what order you should tap your retirement funds, much of the decision will depend on your personal situation. Now, let me give you an example. I'm going to show you how we devise a plan for our clients to help them look at this question before they do anything. Because I don't know about you, but when you do something and then like 6 months later when the 1099s roll in and your tax person says, oh, I'm sorry, you did really well. And you know what that means immediately. It's like, well, thanks for telling me I did well. I know that. But what you're really saying is I need to write you a big fat check, right? And the next thing you're thinking about is, where am I going to get that money from? It's kind of this feeling in your stomach, right? Ooh, I don't know. Don't be that person. So let's look at an example. Let's look at Alex and Sharon, shall we? So Alex and Sharon have the following situation. They're 61 and 65. And they're both working right now. And they want to retire in 2027. And right now, coming into their bucket, if you will, as they're working, they have several sources of income. And those sources of income are work, a pension, because Sharon has a pension that started when she was 60, so that's just paying out monthly. They've got rental income from a number of different properties that over the years they've been paying down on the mortgage, and now it's just free-flowing cash, and the properties don't really need much maintenance, so they're pretty good cash flowing properties, and they're going to probably keep those. And then they've got the Social Security question, because like I said, Alex is 65. So he's eligible for Social Security, and the question is, should he take it? These are all really good questions that start to come into play. Now, as we look at the plan, we can see that the properties are going to continue to crank out income. We can see that she's going to continue to receive her pension because she doesn't want to give it back to them. She earned it. But she's got some choices, and so does he, to make on how do they start tapping this retirement account. And that's where you might want to say, well, maybe we should start looking at some conversion of the deferred account, the 401k, the IRAs. Well, why is that? Because if I model this, and that's what our software allows us to do, it's like a simulation. I don't know if any of you out there have ever done a simulation, but it's like, what if? What if I flew an airplane and I actually, you know, missed the mountain and I crashed? Well, you just get up and you walk out, right? Because it was a simulation. You got to live through it and see what happened in terms of the bang, crash, boom, but your body's fine. You didn't get hurt. That's called a simulation. So we can do the same thing with your portfolio. And in this case, with Alex and Sharon, we've taken their ages. We've taken their desires of wanting to do certain things like retire in 2027. We've taken all the things they've built over the years, their real estate, their retirement accounts, their Roth, everything. And now we're saying, when's the optimal time for you to tap these accounts? And so we run a simulation. We say, well, let's look at what happens when Alex, you turn 73, because now you know under the new law, in 2031, Alex will be 73, and he's going to have to take what? An RMD. That's called a required minimum distribution. He's going to have to. He has no choice. The government's going to make him, in this case, take $31,000 out of his 401k. He doesn't need it. He doesn't want it, but he has to take it. And so when we simulate this, he's going to have roughly $28,000 more income than he really needs to live on, because they're living on about $24,000 a month. That's what they've determined they need in retirement net after taxes to do what they do. Nothing wrong with that. And so we run a simulation which shows them doing nothing, just going down the path the way that they've set up and what they're doing right now. And we can see at the end of the day, if they do that and they live to say age 95, because they chose that. They said both their parents lived a long time. Even though they had dementia and Alzheimer's, they still lived a long time. There was roughly over $8 million left to leave to their kids. Well, then we showed them a couple things like, well, what if we started to convert some of those retirement accounts now to a Roth IRA and we let that money grow tax-free, and then we rolled that to your kids because you didn't really need it. Well, now we've created over a $10 million estate. So we're talking millions of dollars in wealth creation that can be created just by simulating things. You know that nagging question just about everyone feels as they get close to retiring? The constant wonder in the back of your mind, do we really have enough? Or will this pile of money, all these assets I've accumulated, will they last as long as we need it to? Did you know that you don't actually have to wonder about that anymore? Did you know you can literally test that and have that question definitively answered? The answer is yes. That's what we do at the Liberty Group. We give people like you those answers and help you make adjustments now so you can have greater confidence and comfort in your retirement. Set up a 15-minute strategy session call with our team of retirement planners right now to get your questions answered and find out what's working well for others. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. That's 866-776-8328 to talk to a retirement planner right now. Set up a complimentary consultation and get answers to your questions. Or you can always connect with us at our website, libertygroupllc.com. Again, libertygroupllc.com. What are you waiting for? 866-PROTECT. Find out how to keep more and make more of what you've worked so hard for. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where we will discuss the when behind what you should do when you have to begin taking RMDs from your taxable retirement account. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. Today, we're talking about the whens of retirement, like when should I be gifting my money and my property to my family, particularly now that there's Prop 19 out there in California. You really got to be careful about that one. And when should I tap my investments for income? Retirement creates so many questions. Perhaps you have more questions right now than you do answers. And that's why I hope you've been tuning into the entire show, as we call it, Ways to Answer the When Questions of Retirement. If you missed any of the show today, well, then I would suggest you check out our podcast. So how do you do that? Well, if you use Spotify or iTunes or any of those, just type in Protect Your Assets. Now, at the top of the hour, I do a market segment. If you missed that today, you definitely want to go back and listen to it, because right now the markets are at pretty high levels. And so in that segment, I talk about some critical numbers you need to know and follow if you follow the market, because there's some things you can do about it to protect your assets. Now, it is time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that when you reach a magical age in your 70s, that you must start taking money out of your retirement accounts and paying taxes. Well, what should you think through when you are faced with the required minimum distribution, the RMD? Well, as we were talking about in the last segment, many people use IRAs or 401ks to save for retirement. That's because, as you remember, in the late 80s, early 90s, they became very popular. And so we started sticking a bunch of cash away into those IRA accounts. I remember that. So these are tax-deferred accounts, meaning that you didn't pay any taxes on that income when you made it. You put it into this account each year while you were working. You just kept sticking it away. And over time, with the market, it's grown pretty nicely. But did you know that you're going to pay income tax, ordinary income tax, in fact, on that money as you withdraw out of it? And when, there's that word again, you reach age 73, the federal government requires you to withdraw a certain percent each and every year, whether you like it or need it or not. So one way to avoid the required minimum distribution is to begin converting these accounts to a Roth account long before you reach age 73. Now, you will pay taxes when you make that conversion, but then the money that you converted can grow tax-free, and this is what's important, there is no requirement about how much you have to take out or when you have to take that out. So the next when we often talk about in this case was, well, when do we start doing Roth conversions? So earlier in the last example, I was talking about Alex and Sharon. And Alex and Sharon right now are 65 and 61 respectively. And they make a certain amount of earned income through their jobs. Well, what we started looking at for them is pulling out a chunk of money from these retirement accounts and letting them grow over the next 12 to 7 years, depending on who we're talking about here, putting those monies away into Roth accounts and then letting them grow. So when they get ready to retire, they have a decision or a choice to make about how they'll start taking that money back out. That actually created a much better benefit for them and their family as they look to retire, and also for their cash flow. So that led to the next question. When do we start transferring money from us, meaning mom and dad, down to our kids or other people in our family? Well, if you plan to leave something to your kids and you want to limit the taxes they're going to pay on that, like in California on real estate, there's this Prop 19 tax now that's out there. It's massive. Well, one thing you could start to do right now is you could begin giving beneficiaries some of their inheritance before you die by using the annual gift tax exclusion. Well, how much is that? Well, for 2023, you can give up to $17,000 to an individual without any gift tax being associated with it. If you're married, $34,000 you can give to a child or a grandchild each and every year. And as you start to do that, that adds up. So when it comes to retirement planning, there are plenty of things you can't control, like inflation, the Fed raising interest rates, or the market dropping. The trick is to focus on the things you can control, such as when you withdraw money, from which account, or how you do things like I'm talking about with these Roth conversions. We're talking about the whens of retirement today. And if retirement is a priority for you, it only happens when you have a plan to get you safely there. You need to model it, simulate it, see what different options you have. So if the political environment, inflation, the volatile stock market, or higher taxes has you concerned, well, don't just sit there. You need a plan. Set up a complimentary 15-minute strategy session call with me or a member of my team right now to get those questions answered. Stop thinking about this. Pick up the phone right now. 866-PROTECT. Find out what you don't know or your advisor doesn't know. Pick up the phone. 866-776-8328. Or you can always check us out on the website, libertygroupllc.com. Again, it's libertygroupllc.com. Remember, we're local, and we do taxes, we do legal and financial under one roof. We're here today on a Saturday to help you. 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, when's the best time to take Social Security? Find out. Keep it right here.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. Today we're talking about ways to answer the when questions of retirement. You think about it, when is a very important word when it comes to creating income or divesting yourself of assets in retirement. So one of the big questions that you get in retirement is Social Security. When should you take it? Social Security plays a pretty big role for most Americans. On average, Social Security makes up, get this, 30% of income in retirement. In fact, many of the simulations we run show over $100,000 a year coming from Social Security when both spouses do it correctly. So the question of when, there's that word again, when you claim your Social Security affects how big those monthly checks are. Well, you know this, you can start drawing Social Security as early as age 62, but you do so at a rate that is reduced for the rest of your life. Also, if you want to keep working, like earlier I was talking about Alex and Sharon, they're both working. They're 65 and 61 respectively. She's going to be turning 62 this year. There's a limit on how much you can make at your job before the penalties start to kick in. So if you wait until your full retirement age, it's called your FRA, for most people that's age 66 to 67, there is no limit on how much you can make. That's right. Finally, if you postpone claiming your benefits past your full retirement age, the amount of your benefit will continue to grow until you reach age 70. Now, that's a question I get a lot. Should I take my Social Security at 70 or let it continue to grow? No, it won't grow anymore. Once you hit 70, that's it. So take it. Don't wait. Now, when we talked about Alex and Sharon earlier, that was a big question for them about Social Security, when they should start to take that. And so I was talking earlier about Roth conversions and 401ks and how you do that. This becomes a complicated situation in that if you delay taking Social Security, which is taxable, you can start to do conversions between the time you wait and then you take it. So let's say your full retirement age is 66 and your RMD is 73 and your Social Security is going to start at 70. Well, you've got a few different options there of how you turn that on and when you take it and what's the net tax result by making different decisions. Well, if you can see that, if you can look at it and you can make an intelligent choice, guess what? You keep more money in your pocket. And isn't that what you want to do? Don't you want to keep more of your money and give less to the government? I know, it's frustrating. We drive around, we see things, we say, what are they doing with the tax money that we're giving them? and we disagree with it. Well, guess what? Give them less. Keep more. How? You have to pick up the phone. You have to give us a call. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Talk to a member of my team right now, where you can work with a financial advisor to help you create a plan where you can simulate and model different scenarios and see for yourself what the results will be before you do anything. 866-PROTECT. Call us right now. Set up a complimentary 15-minute strategy session with a coach to find out how to score that touchdown and get into the end zone. It's that easy. 866-PROTECT. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers back there working on a Saturday. Lou, Phil, Cam, thanks guys, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.